Come stop and take a trip down on my block, where you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than pencil, and ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, let's put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side, from Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North, to West End to West Side. We blessed when we step out, we stand down, rise up, stand together, wise up.
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri. Episode 3 was recorded at Washington University in St. Louis. The discussion focuses on social justice art of the St. Louis Story Stitchers and gun violence in our communities. Let's listen.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
This is March 4th, 2020. We are speaking today with Story Stitchers. Why don't you guys introduce yourself first?
I'm 22 years old, born and raised in St. Louis. This is my second week in Story Stitchers, so I feel kind of blessed and honored just to be on the podcast this early. But I know some situations and some questions that you all have, and yeah, ready to get to it.
I'm 20. I'm not from here.
I'm the program director here at Story Stitchers. It's really nice to be here with WashU doing this podcast, and I feel like it's going to be a really good conversation.
And thank you all for being here to have this conversation.
Yeah, so on your guys' website, the first thing I noticed is that Story Stitchers is an artist collective. What exactly do you guys mean by that?
Everything that we do is as a collective. So we have youth from ages 16 to 24, and then we also have mentors who are 25 and older, and we all come together to make our art, whether it's music, whether it's poetry, storytelling, photography, whatever it may be. We do it all as an artist collective. So that means that more than one person has input and say so in a project. So that's kind of how we work everything out.
Would any of you like to give kind of a background as to what Story Stitchers is, like how you all got started?
I started when I was like 17. My friend came up to me, he was like, his name is Sean, he's a dancer. He was like, I asked him where he worked at. He was like, I work at Story Stitchers. I was like, okay, what do I do? He was like, I'm a dancer. I was like, okay, what do you do? He was like, basically I just get paid to perform. And I was like, oh, I want to make some money too. So basically, at first, I joined just to get paid. But then I got in like the second day I did my performance. I was like, I want to stay here. And so like, I stopped caring about the money. And I was like, yeah, I'm just dance. Now, I do way more than what I started out doing. At first, I was just a dancer. Then I reached out, photography. Now I do video editing, rap, piano, probably everything. So like, I've grown just like to 4 years up in here.
When did you move to St. Louis from California?
When I was 10.
Okay.
And what about the Story Stitchers organization made you want to like
stay?
Stay, yeah.
It's like the family feel.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves each other. And it's like, there's hardly any arguments.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like I said, even though it's been my second week, I just, when I walked in, like the atmosphere, it was just welcoming. Like everybody is loving. I got introduced to it through my therapist. They gave me one. I was a victim of gun violence. So when I got to the hospital, she was kind of talking with me like every week. But then it kind of ended in February. So she had a contact that she connected me through. And I went with her one day. Had a meeting with Ms. C, head of the Story Stitchers, and man, she just broke it down and explained everything so lovely to me. Like, I want to be a part of it, so that's what I like.
What does the creative process look like? So, I imagine maybe this might not be how it exactly works, but one person comes with an idea, and then kind of a group after that, or a collective, if you will, kind of reshape it and shave some parts off, add some parts on, and kind of edit it, so to speak. Would that be accurate, or is there another process that goes involved into it?
Basically, like a lot of stuff happens like that. Even if it's like somebody's own like poem they wrote, they'll send it to Miss Susan or something, and she'll like help them to make it, you know, like spotless, you know, and then they add their own thing to it to make it them, like, you know, so it's kind of that thing. My favorites are when we do songs together, just because it's so many different elements that go into it, from the instrumentation to the actual lyrics to the cadence, like everything, like it's somebody different, you know, making it happen. Like the song Who's Ready, we had one of our good mentors, Britt, she came in and had a writing session with us. Like, that's all we really thought it was going to be, was just like a writing session, trying to get out what we had inside of us. Maybe either that same day or a few days later, Integrity came in, set up, you know, for us to record. And we just kind of laid it all in like that, you know, instrument by instrument, person by person, you know, each of the lyrics, like, you know, that type of thing. And that's one of those pieces where we all can, you know, be proud of together as a collective, you know, even our dancers, like, that's tight, like, that's a tight song.
I understand that Story Stitchers does a lot of content surrounding, like, gun violence, specifically in the St. Louis area. But before we get into that, Amira, do you have, like, a sample of a piece that you have been working on?
Yeah, I'll give you the verse off of Who's Ready, actually.
Okay. Put her on the spot.
Yeah, so it goes. With the R.E., Revolution, the kids of the future, the change to come. Put the gun down, stop aiming at our heads. Don't put us in the dirt, feeling like a target on a Story Stitcher shirt. But we could talk it out, we should talk it out. Listen, shh, can't you hear our voices now singing? We shall overcome any stereotype, not the ones to conform, but to give off light. We have the power in our hands, so we the people need to vote. The biggest generation has the hardest time trying to cope with pain. Seems like every other day it rains in my hood, but somehow we still singing that it's all good. It's not black on black crimes. Got my city in the prime of its worst time. I'm hurt time cause we flirt time with a beast instead of slaying Goliath. They complain about the streets. Don't give up on us now. This the start of something unique. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay. She had a button that goes do, 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 do. Had that button.
Dance off. My ad-libs, Kelly.
Really powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does performing pieces like this, like, help you express the way you feel about how violence has affected you in your life?
Yeah, a lot. I haven't did a poem or a rap performance yet, but I will in April. But I normally do dance a lot, so, like, I be mad, you know? So I express it through dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to start, I guess, vocalizing more, because there's just times where, like, I think a lot. So much goes on. Yeah, that's what I got to tell myself, too, but just to everybody, just whenever you can, just dancing, writing, just music, poetry, ballet, beatboxing, just anything that's an art that you feel passionate about, just do it. Just do it. If you can't do it now, have a concept on it, always keep it in mind, because it can take you anywhere.
I like that you guys feel like no matter what, you can add something valuable to your collective.
Yeah.
I know that you in particular have been affected by gun violence. Would you like to share that story? Or
yeah, I can share it. I don't mind. So I was with my cousin. We was at a Christmas Eve party down at Cleveland Landing. And this was, well, Christmas Eve 2018. And altercation happened in the club where some females was fighting, and they kind of broke it up, security. So it was all normal. Then, like, 2 minutes later, like, men got to fighting, so they shut the club down. And my cousin, he didn't have a phone at the time, but it was me and him and then our friend. So I gave my cousin my phone, and he was trying to get some numbers or whatever, so he ended up walking off. But when they shut the club down, you know, I'm standing outside waiting on him. And everything was normal. I'm watching the door because I'm like, all right, as soon as he come out, we going home. It's like 2 in the morning anyways. And I just see people rushing out the door, and I'm like, man. And it wasn't, I wasn't scared because, like, I've been here, and, like, violence happens. Not saying I shouldn't be scared, but it's just like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go. But you're not finna put it in front of my heart because you know, you got a gun or anything. But it just happened out of nowhere. It just happened out of nowhere, and it was just like a snap. And I'm just like, man, I paused for a minute because I'm still looking at the door. I ain't never been shot. Like, I ain't never been in a situation where, you know, I had to worry about that. So I couldn't believe it, but I felt it. So that was one thing that kind of got me. But then I'm still worried about my family because that's my cousin. If this happening and it's outside, like, he can run outside and something can happen, but not just me because I see everybody. So I just had to get away. I ended up, like, making it to the hospital, thank God. I was in there for about 2.5 weeks. And, like, that first few days, it was cool because I'm like, I just hope, you know what I'm saying, they just do their job, you know what I'm saying? I'm showing love. I'm always respectful, and they showing me love. So I'm like, cool, cool, and I'm praying every day. But like I say, this Christmas time, I ain't getting no presents. Well, I did, but I'm saying New Year's passed, and I know everybody eating good and stuff, and I'm just like, man, I'm looking out the window, like, for people who actually, like, got their mindset on, you know what I'm saying, going out there and robbing people, killing people, like, why? Because you put people in situations to where, like, they family members not here no more, or it's situations where they hospitalized for a certain amount of time, and it gets to, like, psychologically, like, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm in jail, and I ain't did nothing wrong. Like, I ain't hurt nobody. Like, I was trying to have a good time with family, you know, just make sure we enjoy ourselves. So, like, when violence, like, it comes in a positive setting, it could just make that whole situation go bad. So I always remember I gotta stay positive. Like, I can't be mad at what happened. It happened, and I can learn from it. Man.
I guess what strikes me about your story, thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is just like how, like, desensitized you were to the violence when it first started happening.
And I was, because I always, like, been aware that it happens. So, like, I always been the type to, like, pray and stuff, and always been aware. And I see situations kind of veer, you know what I'm saying, away from it. So for it to happen to me, and not saying like I'm like this hot person, because I just do what I'm supposed to do. What I'm saying, in any situation, it can go from good to bad. So always have your head on straight. Whatever goal you got to do, just keep working on it.
Yeah. To what you said about being desensitized, you know, I think that's just kind of, you know, us growing up in these communities where, you know, you hear it every night. Or at least almost every night, or you hear a siren almost every night, you know, it kind of like gets to a point where you like, oh, go to the ambulance, like, you know, or they shooting, turn the lights on. Like, you know, it just kind of becomes like that, you know. And like he said, a lot of people would never think like it's going to be them. If you're in that situation, it's kind of hard to react, you know, because you never seen nobody really react to it, you know, especially if your family. Y'all always heard it, you know, you always been around it, you know, and y'all always acted a certain way around it. It's kind of hard for you to, like, you know, kind of grasp that thing, you know, or have a reaction to it if you never been exposed to it that way.
What do you feel is a misconception that people have about living in areas affected by gun violence, or what would you want people to know?
When I moved here from California, I went like straight to like the middle of it. It was Walnut Park, and like that's where everything happened, you know, like robbing, stealing, people breaking into your crib, like all that type of stuff. But I can say that it's like that stuff doesn't happen every day like they make it, you know. Some people like, you don't go down there, they rob you for everything. They take shoes, they take this. But it's like, just don't walk around there looking like you got something, basically. Because it's like targets, you know. I was a target in my own neighborhood, you know. Because how I dress, how I look, you know. I don't sag. I don't, you know, rock this. You know, I don't wear this type of stuff they wear. So it's just like, basically, it's not as bad as they paint it, but it's bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's just like, you hear gunshots every night. Mm-hmm. You hear somebody screaming. You would see drug abusers walking around. You'll see all that, but you don't see that every day like how people, you know, make it. So it's just all about minding your business. Just keep walking. When somebody walk up to you and say, hey, you got a lighter? Don't say nothing to them. Just keep walking, because that's how they rob you.
Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of goes back to like what Brian was saying, like keeping a positive mind, you know, because I think another misconception about like the hood is that there's no peace. Like, there's no like family feeling. Like there's like, it's just broken. Like it is broken, but it's like we make it work. Like, you know, like.
And they're doing the same thing out in Chesterfield. They're doing the same thing out everywhere. Like, I live in U City now. You still hear shooting over there. So it's just like, it's anywhere you go can be bad and be quote unquote the hood, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just all about, like how you said it. Yeah. It's how we make it work, you know? You go to an all white neighborhood, you still can't shoot. But it's just like, oh my God. You know, they gonna phone fast, you know? Mm-hmm. Us, we just be like, well, as long as we check on each other, y'all good? Okay, let's go to sleep. Yeah. So it's just like, it's all about the different type of, you know, areas and stuff.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is now time for our Stitchcast Studio Arts Interlude. Come on, y'all. Let's pick the city up. Next, we have an original song called Who's Ready by the St. Louis Story Stitchers. Let's get to it.
Yeah. I've been drowning in sorrow-filled water fountains, not asking for pity parties, no pardon partners around. And I've calculated the odds, but what good is knowing the count? When I count it up, count it down, I've already been counting out. It don't matter, show too much of my valor. Give up at hard times, I haven't. But from the data I've gathered, rumor has it, the captured act like they captors. The captors act like they captured. Ain't never been down with movement unless the movement is backwards. But I'm ready.
At my city and I see it is in trouble. Instead of facing each other, they out here facing muzzles. People dropping left and right, I'm seeing families crumble. We gotta help each other, cause we're all part of the struggle. While we hurting each other, I look and I see double. There's so much hurt and hopelessness that lies beneath the rubble. But if we set aside the differences, we can make change. We just gotta be humble, make our way through the rain. Cause I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing pain. The gang banging is old, gun violence is beyond lane. If we're not trying to save our city, then we're living in vain. Cause people out are taking lives like it's a video game. What I'm saying isn't make-believe, cause anything is possible. And if we work together, we can obliterate these obstacles. So put the gun down, get up, and join this movement. Cause there's strength in numbers, so let's get to it.
We're ready, we're ready. Be ready for the violence to stop. Get ready, get ready. Get ready for a change to come.
To come.
Who's ready? We're ready. We're ready for a revolution.
Who's ready?
Who's ready?
The kids of the future, the change to come. Put the gun down, stop aiming at our heads. Don't put us in the dirt, feeling like they're talking on a story stitch a shirt. But we can talk it out, we should talk it out. Listen, shh, can't you hear our voices now singing? We shall overcome any stereotype. Not the ones to conform, but to give off light. We have the power in our hands, so we the people need to vote. The biggest generation has the hardest time trying to cope with pain. Seems like every other day it rains in my hood, but somehow we're still singing that it's all good. It's not black on black crimes, got our city in the prime of his worst time. I'm hurt time, cause we flirt time with a beast. Instead of slaying Goliath, think I'm playing about the streets. Don't give up on this now, this is something so unique.
Violence, put down the gun, we will not be silent. It's time for a revolution. No more violence, put down the gun, we will not be silent. It's time for a revolution. We're ready, we're ready. We ready for a violent two-star. Get ready for a change to come. Who's ready? We ready. We ready for a revolution.
Who's ready?
Who's ready? We ready. We ready for the violent two-star.
Who's ready?
How has Story Stitchers like responded to these issues within the community?
My favorite thing that Story Stitchers has done, especially for our Black males, is giving them a voice. You know, because in this culture, in our society, in our nation, sadly, for a long time, our Black males have been painted in a not so pretty picture.
Just the aggressor.
You know? And so Story Stitchers, I feel, has given these young men an opportunity to show the world in their city, which is a very impactful thing, to show their city that I'm not out there selling drugs. I'm not out there knocking people out, you know, robbing them. I'm making my living in a positive way, and I'm changing people's lives as I do it every day. You know, like, I'm helping my community, not taking away from it, you know. So that for me is like, even as a female, it's very liberating to see my brothers be able to lift their head up and walk down the street, you know, with confidence, you know, because of Story Stitchers giving them that voice and that platform to make a difference and a change in their community.
I appreciate you for saying that, because that's how I feel. Like, for real, like, work at a market, so like, I'm on the smoker, I'm at the deli, but I'm serving customers, so you get them regulars to where they see you and they happy to see you, because especially like you say, young Black male, they, I'm just glad you're off the street. It's nice to see you today. You always treat me so nice, like excellent customer service, like yes ma'am, no ma'am, so mannerable. I'm like, thank you. But young, like, that's how I was raised. So I'm not finna go out of my character, basically. So I have to appreciate them and always make sure I do my best, because there's nothing out in the streets that's negative that's for me, except for Story Stitchers. So to anytime I can voice my voice and how I feel in a positive way to try to help people, I will. And that's out in the streets, that's the job, that's 24/7, I always got to make sure I am who I am so people can know. And, well, until they talk to me, but they can look and judge me however they want to judge me, but that's up to them. But just come have a chance to sit down and talk to me and see where my mind is. So it always feels good, just not young Black, just any race, just humans in general, when we all come together and have a good time, and you know it's no negativity in the air, no bad. Like, you ain't got to worry about, you know what I'm saying, somebody saying something to you that they ain't supposed to say, or you getting out of your comfort zone. It's always a blessing. Like, you come in and you just feel the energy, you smell the air, and you like, yes. Yes, so.
I have a question about, I guess, maybe the more creative side of Story Stitchers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of more individual for each of the three of you, but who would you regard as maybe your inspirations for storytelling? Whether it's a contemporary, an older person, or a mentor from Story Stitchers? Is it a more famous artist that maybe people in this room listen to? What, who would be that inspiration, or maybe why would you choose that person?
I think for me, as far as rapping goes, I grew up listening to J. Cole and Kendrick, you know. I never was in the, like, Tupac era. You know, that was kind of more like my mom and them. Now, as far as poetry, the only person I really was able to connect with was Maya Angelou for a very long time, you know, and just kind of how she didn't like vulgarity, you know. She didn't like, you know, that kind of, you know, delivery. You know, she kind of stayed away from it and made her content more clean, you know. So then that kind of shaped me too. And then coming into Story Stitchers also helped me to, you know, kind of filter a lot and kind of change the way I was thinking and the way I was putting words together.
Dancing wise, I didn't really start dancing until I was like 13. Because like, my twin brother, he was dancing. He used to dance like competitions all the time. And like I used to go with him, but like I was like, ugh, dance is weird. Like I don't like everybody staring at me and stuff like that. Until like I went to this party and he was like, bro, get in the circle, dance. And like, I know I'll start doing anything. I was like, just going crazy. Like, I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I guess I'm dancing or whatever. And so like I took my first dance class. My brother taught me, he was teaching me stuff. Music wise, I gotta go with like Elton John or something.
Yeah.
Elton John and like Journey, you know? It's just the overall feel of like the music they make, you know? Cause like I like rap music, but you won't see me in the car. Like, yeah. I'll be in the car going crazy to like some. Some Don't Stop Believin'. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Some Ben and the Jets.
Yeah, the Smiths get me going right there. And the Smiths too. Them. So it's like, I can say dance by me music wise.
I say, my grandfather, really, and my mother, like, this was way back. I was in music. Like, I played musical instruments and, like, growing up in school, like, baritone, like, xylophone and stuff like that. So I always been kind of into it that way. But just before all of that, just 7, 8, 9, just hearing, like, Al Green, Teddy Pendergrass, just about my grandfather. And I'm like, it just all sounds so lovely. So, like, when I got older and I heard it, it's like, oh, this is what I used to listen to. This is what I feel. So I just kind of went in my own time and like the older stuff for real. So like Roy Ayers, I just like
that. What about Gap Band?
Yeah.
Oh,
Gap Band. Ooh, yeah, Charlie Nell. So I just always had them old vibes.
That's how I came up with my first song. Really? I listened to, what's that band called? Imagine Dragons.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it was Demons.
Oh man.
And like I took the guitar riff off of it and like made it myself and then like switched the whole thing around. And I was like, dude, I made this.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, all of those artists like have a really, I mean, any music is just a really good opportunity for like storytelling and self-expression and like good for social commentary. Like a rich history of like protest music in the U.S. So how do you all like recruit new members into Story Stitchers? And like, I know it's ages 16 to 23, but you all do outreach with younger people. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so a lot of times you'll see it be word of mouth. Because a lot of our youth are still in high school or still in, you know, some type of educational program. But yeah, a lot of times we see that people join Story Stitchers, you know, because they've heard from somebody, like we went somewhere and performed and somebody reached out to them, so they're reaching out to us, you know, that type of thing, which is really good, to be honest.
What do you think WashU students or the WashU community as a whole could do to help build Story Stitchers from what it is right now? Because I feel like at WashU there's somewhat of a tension between the university itself and the greater community, and outreach at times can be somewhat limited, to be frank.
I could speak on it briefly. I think WashU, you know, we're in our space, which I believe is provided by WashU down on Skinker. So really anything kind of helps us because we're still a small but growing organization. But really, yeah, just like anything, you know, like we just had a show here at the Clark Fox Forum. Like, that's great. Performance spaces, you know, yeah, just anything. Spreading the word about Story Stitchers, you know, letting us put posters up of upcoming shows, like anything like that, you know, like anything really would help. And I think too, like you were saying, like it would benefit the campus too to know, like, that they're involved with Story Stitchers, 100%. You know, because, you know, people just need to know, like, about some of the things we talk about, you know, to help some of the students feel connected with the city that they're going to school in, because some of these students are not from here at all, you know, never been here till they came to this school, you know, so that's another thing, you know, that could just kind of help them feel like this is another place they can call home.
Yeah. I think it would definitely be valuable for the students here to realize, like, where we are. What would you want the WashU community to know about gun violence in St. Louis?
that it's real. And it's affecting everybody in different ways. Yeah. From how you walk down the street, from how you look, you know, because, like, I be scared to go out the house sometimes just how I dress, because I just weird, you know. People through the can see me and be like, let's get on him, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's really, really bad in some parts, you know. It's like terrible in some parts.
Oh, sorry to cut you off. How is the issue spoken about, I guess, locally, like amongst?
Amongst just like regular people?
Yeah, both. I was going to ask amongst regular people and amongst local politicians.
I think people, when they think about gun violence, they just think about the homicides, like a person killing another person.
Yeah.
But we don't also think about, you know, suicide, you know, which we've been kind of talking about as an artist collective, how it affects not just the city, but the outer parts, you know, of Missouri. You know, it's kind of like spreading, you know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, like, I talk about it in a poem where I have 4 friends die from guns in 2018. One of them kill himself, like, you know, and that's a really hard thing for a friend to, you know, kind of deal with, because you, like, well, they was just good, like, mm-hmm. a week ago, like, mm-hmm. so what's the deal? Like, you know, so I think people kind of miss out on that aspect of it too, like, that is real. Like, people do, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. So gun violence, like you said, it's real, but not just on a level that people first mind probably just go to, like, oh, like, dudes killing dudes, like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like there's an aggressive nature to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like,
yeah. In like white and black communities, yeah. like cities yeah. and suburbs,
yeah.
exactly. people are affected, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Well, I think that we might wrap this up, unless you guys have anything else you want to add.
I just want to, I don't know if I said it earlier, but I just want to say it, if I did say it again, like, thank you for having us here. Mm-hmm. This is a very nice conversation, you know, and I think it will help some people, you know, listening to this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. It was a pleasure and it was an honor.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
I just want to say Story Stitchers has an upcoming event at Wash U on April 2nd at 6 p.m. You can check their website for more information. There's also more podcasts from Story Stitchers and some performances that you should definitely check out if you have not already.
Oh, yeah. We have a big show coming up April 24th at the Hilo. That would be a really good premiere show that we're going to be putting on this spring. So if anybody wants to come to that too, you know, go on our website or get your tickets at MetroTix.
Until next time.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the StitchCast Studio sponsors, the City of St. Louis Youth at Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.